We're going to thrash around in the Old Testament. We're studying the doom of Sodom and Gomorrah, the price of rebellion toward God, the price of rebellion. 19 and verse 18 is where we are. Then we're going to go back further into the Old Testament in a little bit. We're going to look at the giants. Because here we have angels coming down to visit, to bring judgment. And in Genesis, the 6th chapter, we have angels coming down to cohabit with women bringing forth a race of giant, rebellious, half-breed, fallen spirits and mankind. And here we have that same type of rebellious attitude here. We'll read Hebrew and then we'll look at it a little closer. We haven't even said the Hebrew alphabet for a while, have we? No. We don't need to do that, do we? Aleph, Beth, Gamel, Neleth, and all that. All right. Let's just read the Hebrew word there. It starts out with how do you say that? Vayomer. How would you say that in modern Hebrew? Vayomer. All right. So it's Vayomer. Lot. Ali Ham. All right. Allah Na. Adonai. Now, we look at that. The modern Hebrew would be Adonai. Adonai. I pronounce it a little more like the biblical Hebrew. The daleth there is like a DH sound, so it's Adonai. Adonai. Okay? Adonai. Now let's go back and look at it. And he said and kept on saying, Lot unto them. No, I beg, I pray, I plead. My Lord. Alright? No, I beg, I plead, my Lord. Now let's go back and look and see what in the world the context is talking about here. In Genesis, the 19th chapter, let's go back to about verse, I'm going to read this from my Amplified Bible here and then we'll catch up so you'll know where we are and what's going on here. But the men, the angels, reached out and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. Remember I told you that they arrested him. They went in there to get him out of the city and they arrested him, pulled him in and shut the door. And they struck the men that were outside with deep, intense blindness. From the youth to the old men, these people were young, and barrel all the way to geriatric. So that they wearied themselves groping to find the door. They did not give up. They were filled with lust. And the two men asked Lot, have you any others here? Sons-in-law or your sons or daughters, whomever you have in the city, bring them out of this place. Get out of here. For we were about to completely destroy and annihilate Sodom. For the outcry and the shriek against his people has grown great before the face of Jehovah. And he has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters. Now these were his sons-in-law. These were people that were legally engaged to his daughters. And said, up, let's get out of this place, for the Lord is going to completely and utterly destroy the city. But it seemed to them, to the sons-in-law, as if he was only joking. And when morning became, the angel urged Lot to hurry, saying, arise, take your wife and your daughters, who are here, and let's get out of here. Lest you're consumed and swept away and destroyed with all of the sin and the punishment of this city. Verse 16. While they lingered, the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand. They seized him. They arrested him, okay? For the Lord was merciful to him, and they brought him forth and set him outside the city and left him there. And when they had brought them forth, he said, "Escape for your life. Don't look behind you. Don't stop anywhere in the whole valley. Escape to the mountains of Moab." Remember what Moab means? Remember what Moab means? Moab literally means water from the Father. All right. Okay, that's Lot's daughters. This is going to be the mountains of Moab now. This is what it's going to be. These children haven't been born, these Moabites, but that's who they are. They're children of incest, water from the Father. "Lest you be consumed." And Lot said to them, "Oh, not, my lords." Oh, no. There's where we are. There's where we are. Oh, no. 19 and verse 19. Hine, na, matzah, apika, ken. Now, see, that is a chet there on the front over there. See, that is like a CH sound. Chen. Benika, wa, tag, del, hasdika, Asher. How many of you can look at Asher and tell what it is now? See, that's a very common, repeated, redundant word. Asher. And then Asita. Imadi. Li. Ha. Cha. Yot. Et. Nafshi. Weanoki. Anoki means what? I. Lowell, you call. Then on the other side, Lehim Malet, Hahara, Pen, Tid Bakani, Ha Ra'a, Wa Mati. Behold. Now, as you look down there, you'll see different page numbers. All right? Down below that, it says page 244. Page 244 is in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. All right? Page 199 is Davidson's Analytical Hebrew Grammar. And then Na is page 609 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. And then as we go here, He has found your servant. Look at that word. Third person masculine singular, cal perfect. Page 592 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and page 692 in Kohler and Baumgartner. So that'll give you the different... You can go look these up in these different lexicons. Your servant. Avad. That's the root of it. See down below, I put down the root of that word. Avad, your slave, your vassal, your servant. Favor. What is the favor or grace in Greek? Remember what that word is? Charis. All right. That's where we get the word charisma from. Is from grace. All right. Favor in your eyes or in your sight. You have made great your kindness, which you have done, second person masculine singular, cal perfect, page 793 and page 889. Page 793 in Brown, Driver, Briggs, page 889 in Kohler and Baumgartner. I didn't bring any of those Hebrew lexicons tonight. Yes. Nope. Okay. All right. Imadi, with me. preserve life, to preserve life. Li ha chayot, to preserve life. That haya, that's the life there in it. To preserve life. Et is what? See that word et there? That little et? That's what? Sign of the direct object. What's the Greek word equivalent to that? Ace. Just like it is in English, see? Ace. That's extension or limitation or thought or verbal action. I want you to remember that. That's very important. When one of my students went back to the Louisville, Kentucky Seminary and took Greek, it's very remedial Greek back there. What I'm teaching you is advanced reading and research Greek on Wednesday night. And this is the advanced reading and research in Hebrew. So I'll teach you some of the advanced rules of grammar because, you know what, that's really what makes it walk. That's what makes the languages different, is those rules of grammar which mean something. The idea is the power of the verbs going into action on some noun. All right? You shall preserve life, my soul, my nephesh. Now, nephesh, look at that word nephesh there. Nephesh. Nephishi. Nafishi. Nephesh. The Bible says, in the book of Genesis, in the first three chapters, it talks about God creating souls for life. And he said he created man, he formed man as he formed the dust of the ground, as he formed the dust of the ground, not from dust, but as he, just like he formed dust, he formed man. Okay? I know that's different than what the translations say. But he formed man as he formed the dust of the ground, and he breathed into him what? Breathings of lives. Here we have man. Now, what makes man alive? What makes man alive? Adam. That's the word for mankind. What's the word for mankind in Greek? Anthropos. Alright? When we study about mankind, remember, Greek is the language of what? Of science and medicine. When we study mankind, we study what? Anthropology. Alright? In Greek, that equivalent, or not Greek, but in Hebrew, is Adam. Now, the earth is called Ha-Adama. Ha-Adama, alright? Of course, it's got a different name there. What is in? Ha-Adama is what? The earth. The earth. It's the earth. The planet earth, okay? And Dom. Dom is what? Blood or red? Blood or red? Now, God formed man as he formed the dust of the earth. He formed him. Here he is. He is a physical entity now. And he breathes into him the breathings, the wind, the breathings, the breaths of lives. Hayah. Lives. What does he breathe into? What makes man alive? Blood. Blood makes man alive. He breathed into him the breathing of life. And where did the blood that generated man come from? From God. Okay? Now, this is something that's very important. I can't repeat this enough. In mankind, this is the story of salvation. Okay? The woman does not transmit the sin nature to the child. The woman doesn't. We have, in Catholicism, we have Mariolatry. We have the worship of Mary. They invented, if you go back in the Trail of Blood and you look back there when Mariolatry, when the worship of Mary began, and then all the different forms and defined, where they defined the worship and how wonderful she is. I'm going to tell you something. That little girl right there could bring forth a sinless child. If God was involved. Mary was just a vessel, that's all. The woman cannot transmit. The Catholic Church tried to go round the circle, just round and round, trying to figure out how this child, how Jesus was born without sin. He was born without sin because God was his father, and Mary was the vessel that, and she was just picked out. I mean, we're not supposed to worship her. We're supposed to worship the Son. The woman cannot pass the sin nature on. The blood comes from the man. If you... Here's a very simple illustration. How many of you ever had a chicken egg? Anybody ever ate a chicken? Young lady, have you had a chicken egg sometime or another? All right. Have you ever broken a chicken egg and put it in a bowl or anything when you were going? How about you, Cindy? You ever had cooked any eggs before? Yeah. Well, the blood in the eggs, if the eggs are not fertile, they won't have that speck of blood fertilization in them. The blood comes from the rooster. No blood in a female, in a woman, the blood of that child does not come from the woman. It comes from the man. Now, the woman gives the child form and everything else, but the blood of the mother does not go to the child. The blood of the child comes from the father. So now, the sin nature is passed through the blood into the human race. And this is what makes it so beautiful. The Bible agrees with science. True science. It's all there. All medical science, all creation science and everything else, the Bible teaches that. We can see that. We can just see it come alive in the Scriptures. There is a book, if I can think of the name of it, The Chemistry of the Blood by M.R. Dehaan. That would be really good if you read that one. What I told you here, he spends about 100 or 200 pages telling you about all of this in detail. But that's how Jesus could be born without a sin nature, and yet being related to the human family through Mary. And then he could be the redeemer of all mankind, not only mankind, but Ha'adamah, the earth, and the cosmos of Hashemayim. All right? All of this. He is the redeemer of all of it because we're related to all of it, because the same elements that God created Adam with is the same elements that came from God that created the whole universe. Okay? The whole universe. So we have Adam, mankind. Mankind. Life. Now God created man, he formed man, and he breathed in him the breathings of lives, Hayah, the breathings, Ruach, say Ruach, Ruach. All right? That's spirit. And the breathings is Ruach, and then Hayah is lives. See, in Adam, he placed the whole human race. You were there. See, that's how come you have the sin nature, because you were there. Right there in Adam, right then. Your life was created in Adam right there. Back in the Garden of Eden, okay? And then it says, and man, Adam, Anthropos, Hayah became a living what? Nefesh. A living soul. There's our word nefesh right there. Nefesh. Nefesh. We know key. And I not am able. I keep on not being able. First person construct singular cal imperfect. I keep on not being able. 19b. Lehim malet, to escape. Nephael, infinitive construct, to escape. Ha ha ra. Remember what the word for mountain is? It's oros in Greek, and it is hor in Hebrew. Here is the word. The root of that is hor. See it right down there? That haith and resh. I cannot escape to the mountain lest cling to me the evil and I die. All right? Cling to me, the evil, and I die. Let's look and see what the Amplified Bible says in 19 and verse 19 now. Now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your kindness and mercy to me in saving my life, but I cannot escape to the mountains, lest the evil overtake me and I die. He's afraid of leaving the city life. That's what the whole story is. He was a judge and a lawyer in that city, and he won't leave the bright lights of Sodom. He doesn't want to leave the bright lights. He's afraid to go to the mountains. He's afraid of the woods. And afraid of the mountains. All right? And he wants to go to another city. He wants to go to another city. 19 and verse 20. Hinei, Nah, Ha'er, Hazot, Geroba, Lanus, Shamma. See that word Sham? See that Shin there in the front of it? Then we have that's a SH sound. That looks like a pitchfork with a dot over the right hand side of it. That's a SH sound. Sham. Now look at that mam there. The mam is doubled with that dot in the middle of it. See that? So we have Shamma. Shamma. Shem means what? Come on, Shem. Remember we have old boy back there? Oh, Shem. 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 Name. Monument. Place. All right? God, through the lineage of Shem, the son of Noah, Shem would bring forth make his name famous. Shem would be a monument. Jesus would come through the line of Shem. All right? The Shemite. And Shem means there or place. Okay? Wehi, and it, a small thing. Let me escape. Let me slip away. First person construct singular, Nephel Kohorti. Nah, I beg or I pray, I plead. Shama, there. The knot, look at that. Ha, lo, the knot. A small thing, mitzar, a small thing, it, and that may live my nefesh, nafshi, my soul. My soul may live. I want to tell you what old Lot did to his soul. He tortured his righteous soul, didn't he? He tortured it, according to the New Testament. Lot tortured his righteous soul. He was born again, but he lived in the wrong places. He just went run with the wrong crowd all the time. 1921. Wyomer. How would you say that in modern Hebrew? Wyomer. Okay. Elah. Hene. Nasati. Fanika. Gama. La Davar. Haze Le Veoti Hafaniki. That's what's that next word? Et. Et. Alright. Modern Hebrew would say et. The biblical Hebrew is et with a TH sound, a little bit of H in there. Et. Make a soft towel. Ha'er. Er is the city. Ha is the city. Alright. What do you say? How do you say city in Greek? We have a police department. What is it? Police. Polis. All right. Ha'er Ashur. Remember I told you about old Ashur there? Which you have spoken about. Dibarti. See that? Dibarti. 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 Two base in there, and they're hard base. Dibarti. And he said unto him, behold, I have lifted up your faces also for a thing, the this, to not, the overturning, the destroying, the city which you have spoken about. 1921. Cindy, are you over there in that area? You want to read that for me? Are you an Amplified Bible? Is that what you are? Okay. 1921.
An angel said to him, "See, I have yielded to your entreaty concerning this thing also. I will not destroy the city of which you have spoken."
He wants to go to another city. So he's not going to destroy that city. 19:22. Maher. Himmalet. Shama. Ki. Lo. You call. La asot. Davar. What's the next one? Ad. Bo'ake. Shama. All. Ken. Kara. Shem. Ha'er. Tesuar. All right. Let's go back and look at this. See, is this too hard for a young lady? Not too bad, is it? No. Not near as scary as it might you might think. Maher. Hurry up. Hurry up. Masculine singular PL imperative. PL stem in Hebrew means what? Intensive. Intensive. Boy, I mean this PL is a hard, intense stem. Hurry up. Right now. Hurry. With great haste. Imperative means what? Do it. Right now. That's a command. To escape. Hurry up to escape. Masculine singular. Mithael. Imperative. From here. Shama. From here. Because. Not. I am able to do or to make a thing until you're coming from her. From her or from here. Okay? Therefore. All can. Therefore. Kara. Called. Name. Shem. See that word? Name or monument. The city. Ha'er. Zor. Zor. A small thing. Alright? A small thing. 19:23. We're just flying along here. Hashemesh. Look at that. Hashemesh. Lots of sh. Lots of sh. In Hebrew, there's a lot of S's and a lot of T's.
So is the
Hash.
The dot right there,
That doubles it. Hash Shem Shemesh. Shah Shemesh. Yatsa. All Haaretz. Now, how would you say this last word, Haaretz? How do you say that in a modern Hebrew? Haaretz. Haaretz. They leave the S out. That Sahe there, just forget it. You just make it like an S in modern Hebrew. But in biblical Hebrew, it's got a S, like a TS sound. Haaretz. Say Haaretz. You have to have a TS sound. Haaretz. All right. Wilot. Ba. Tasark. Tasarach. Okay. Ha Shemesh. The sun, having risen upon the earth, El Haaretz, upon the earth. What is earth? What is Haaretz? Now we had Adama. Now what is Haaretz? What does that mean? Dry ground. All right. Now remember, now what does Sodom mean? What does Sodom mean in Hebrew? What? Flammable. And what does Amora? We get the word Gomorrah from the Greek Septuagint, not from the Hebrew, because the Hebrew is Amora. What does Amora mean? We got flammable, and what is the other one? Amora. Mem is in there. Remember, Hashemayim. What does that mean? The uplifted what? Waters. The land of much water. That's what Amora means. The land of much water. And look and see. Now, let's look at what's going on here. Let's get an idea. Now, in this area today is called what? What is this area called? You can go down there and float in this place. You can't sink. The Dead Sea. It's got a lot of salt, a lot of minerals in that water that's there. There's more. It's like hard water. Boy, I mean really hard water. So hard you can float on it. You go out there and I touch that Dead Sea. I mean, when you walk in, it just lifts you up. It's so heavy. The water is so heavy. It lifts you up. You can't go down in that water. You just float around out there like you're on an air mattress or something. This was not, at this time right here, this was not the heavy salt sea that it is today. There were cities all around the sea, just like Galilee. Okay, now what water feeds this sea?
What we call it?
What? Jordan. The Jordan River. The Jordan River is going down there. But there are no outlets. So when you have a lot of water going into some area, how many of you have been over here at Carrizo Plains? The salt. Water goes down there and there, it doesn't go any places. It goes down there and what happens? You have a soda lake or whatever. Up in Owens Lake now, after the L.A. Water and Power took all the water away from the Owens Valley and shipped it down into aqueducts in the Los Angeles, that lake out there dried up there in what was called Owens Lake, and it's all white out there. And that produces 2% of all the dust-borne pollution in the world. You go down through there sometimes and you just see clouds of this alkali dust. Out here at Buena Vista, we live out there. When I go home, it's like an expedition towards L.A., okay? I go out there between Tonkin Center and Mettler. That's where I live. There used to be two lakes out there, Kern Lake on the left, and what kind of lake on the right?
Buena Vista.
And Buena Vista out there was already from where Old River Road is. You know where Old River Road is? Old River Road all the way to Taft was Buena Vista Lake. All the way out there. All of that old area in there is very salty, what we call alkali ground. They're about chemicals. What they do is put a lot of sulfur in the ground or sulfuric acid, and it leaches the ground out, and then they can farm it again. All right? Out there in that area, you see a lot of this. This is kind of probably what this area was like. It had a lot of water in it, but probably even fish could live in that water. And up at toward Levining, there's a lake up there called Mono Lake. Now, Mono Lake, believe it or not, was a trading point for all Indians, east and west. Indians would go together up there, and Indians would come all the way from the Midwest, all the way out here, and they would trade for, it was a trade route. Almost all of these old trailblazers and mountain men, you know, that blazed trails, they didn't really blaze any trails. All they did was follow Indian trails that were already there. You know, we have Walker Pass over here made by Joseph Walker discovered it. He didn't discover it. All he did was follow Indian trail. Okay? Well, up there at Mono Lake, that lake up there is very heavy with salt also. But there's shrimp in there. And those Indians would come all the way out here, and they'd catch all these shrimp, and they'd trade them and dry them out, and that way they had salt. Salt is a very necessary part of your diet. Okay? And so they would have salt, and they would trade back and forth. But there's living things in that lake. There's birds that go on it. Back at this period of time, probably this great sea that was there was salty, all right, but maybe there were brine shrimp in it, and there were cities around it, and there was water going into it, and there was population all around it, but this population of people was... This is Sodom and Gomorrah and those five cities of sin. Okay? This is a whole picture of everything that's going on around here now. And then we have... What is that word? Can anybody pronounce that word there? That first one? We can't pronounce that one, so we call that one Ha-Dabar, the word, or the Hashem, the name, or modern Hebrews will call this what? Adonai. Ha-Adonai. Okay? Him-Tir. All Sidom. We all. Amora. Remember, this is not Gomorrah, but Amora. Amora means what? Much water. All right? Gaferit. Vi-esh. Mi-eth. The Var again. All right. This is the name of God. This is His personal name. Min. Ha-shamayim. All right. And Jehovah. We will call Him Jehovah. This is the word in the New Testament. John 1 and 1 says what? N. R-K. Aim. Po. Logos. That's the same one. In beginning. In beginning kept on being the Jehovah. Alright? And this is Him. Jehovah is walking around in the New Testament in the person of Jesus Christ, and Jehovah is walking among some men on this earth. And He greeted Abraham earlier, didn't He? And He sent the angels down into Sodom and Gomorrah in these cities to take out the saved people. And remember that Abraham made intercession for all of these wonderful people there. He said, if there's only five of them, will you not destroy them? If there's five left there, and there wasn't even five people there. Abraham said, you know what? I got Lot, I got his wife, and two daughters down there. How many is that? Four. And there's two son-in-laws, so that's going to make more than five, isn't it? But there wasn't enough. Those sons-in-laws weren't saved. You know what? I doubt if those girls were saved. I don't think his wife was saved. I think there's one saved person in that city, and that's a Lot. That's it. He was what? But we know that he was saved because the New Testament says his righteous soul. But boy, was he an ungodly buzzard. Oh, you would have never known it. And Jehovah reigned and kept. Jehovah had reigned upon Sodom, that flammable place. He'd set it on fire now. There were tar pits around there. And what happens if you get tar hot enough? It catches on fire. And he reigned, we all, upon Gomorrah, the place of much water. Now, what do you do when you heat up water and the water has chemicals in it? What happens to it? Now, I told you that story about all this water and the salt stuff for a reason. How many of you have ever put a pot of water out of the faucet on the stove and forgot about it for a while? And have you ever done that, Roger? What do you find in the bottom of the pot? Chemicals. Salts. All kinds of chemicals. That's what happened to the Dead Sea here. God got it real hot and concentrated and turned it into the heaviest water. Because it was rain. Brimstone, he rained. What is brimstone? Sulfur. Alright? Brimstone is sulfur. Now, have any of you, do you know what a flare is? A road flare? What is a road flare? It's sulfur. Sulfur's hot, people. I used to work in a wrecking yard when I was a little old kid. How old are you, young lady? Huh? 17. You're 17 years old. How about you? Well, when I was your age, I worked in a wrecking yard. 10 years old. I was working in a wrecking yard, and you know how kids are. They got to fool around with something. I was always blowing up something. Just all the time, blowing up something. Well, I found this flare. And this was my time. Nobody was around there or anything else. So I was going to go out there, and I'm going to see how hot this sulfur is. Because this is sulfur. And I struck that flare, and I went out to a fender. And you know what? You can burn a hole through metal with that. I mean, it'll melt metal with that sulfur. God rained down brimstone down on this city and heated up that lake so much that it boiled all the water out into the atmosphere, and we have a lot of solid salts and a lot of sulfur around there. Okay? And brimstone and fire, we-ish. Fire, we-ish. Lightning. All right, lightning is hot stuff. I'm going to tell you something. Lightning is hot stuff. Remember Benjamin Franklin? You remember that guy was? They say that he discovered the power of electricity in the air. Remember what he did? He flew a kite, and the string got wet. Okay? The string got wet, and he had a key on the end of it, and he was going to see if he could fly it into the lightning out there, and the biggest wonder or miracle was that he didn't get killed. I'm going to tell you what, lightning is hotter than the surface of the sun. Did you know that? Lightning's pretty hot. My friend Eddie in Wisconsin was telling us the other night, he has a great big amplifier. We have, if you've been to my house, you see two big linear amplifiers there where I talk on the radio, and they put out like 1,500 watts, real easy to piece there. One's about 2,500 watts, and the other one put out 3,500 watts. But the power supplies in them, one of them is 3,000 volts at 2 amps. That's a lot. And the other one is like 3,000 volts at about a half and a half. That's a lot of power, people. He just happened to get a little bit too close to his amplifier with his arm. And it, a place about that big just burned through his arm. Now, I had another friend out here in Taft, or not Taft, but Arvin. He ordered a new amplifier, and it had two wires going to it. Well, he thought, you know, that a separate power supply with an amplifier would have one wire, because most of them have one wire. But this amplifier had two. Well, he didn't know about it. And the extra wire was hidden in the box that it came in. He plugged one in. Then he turned it on, and it didn't come on right. So he reached across to see what was going on, and went wham! And his hands just blew up with fire. I'm going to tell you something. That's very powerful stuff, but that's not lightning. Lightning is a whole lot more powerful than that. A whole lot more powerful than that. Lightning can blow trees up, explode trees. Have you ever seen a tree that's been hit with lightning? It'll explode that tree just like a bomb. Now, that's what happened here. God rained brimstone, the sulfur, he set the sulfur on fire. He rained lightning down there with this powerful, intense heat from Jehovah. All right. How many of you saw Raiders of the Lost Ark? All right, that was a pretty neat movie, wasn't it? When they took the lid off the Ark of the Covenant and the lightning came out and started striking people? I mean, this is all make-believe and everything else, but I'm going to tell you something. Up on Mount Sinai, there was lightning up there. That Ark of the Covenant right there, where that had that pillar of fire on it, that's powerful. That is the Shekinah glory of God. That's power. E equals mass times the speed of light squared. What is that, Cindy? Yeah. All right. The theory of relativity. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. So we've got a professor here. God is that. He is that energy. And from Him comes all the energy in the whole universe. Not only in every lightning strike, but all the energy in the whole universe. From Jehovah, and then from men, from Hashemayim, from the heavens. Deuteronomy 29:33, Psalm 106, or 11, verse 6, and Isaiah 13, verse 9, Ezekiel 16:49 and 50, Luke 17:29, and Jude 7. Let's go look at Jude 7. Let's look at one of them. Jude 7. What should the book of Jude be called? The book of Yehuda, all right? The book of Judah, or Yehuda. And what does that mean? What does Yehuda mean? Praise Jehovah. All right. Is anyone there in Jude 7? Anyone have it? All right, young man. Roger.
Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire.
All right. Now the book of Jude just about quotes the book of Enoch. Just, well, it quotes directly the book of Enoch. But if you read the book of Enoch, you'll see the same thing. They went after strange flesh. All right. Let's go back in Genesis, the 6th chapter, real quick. Let's see what this was. They went after strange flesh. Let's stop there in 1924, and let's go back in Genesis, the 6th chapter. Genesis chapter 6 now. And in the... I forgot that thing again. Does anyone have the Living Bible, the Living Bible, not the New Living Bible, but the Living Bible? Do you have that, Brother Harry, the Living Bible? That's pretty good right there. Even the Jewish Publication Society is not too bad, not too shabby on this. Living Bible. New Living Translation. That's not as good as the Living Bible. Well, let's just read it anyway. Just shout that out real loud for us. 6:1. By the way, it's Wahi Ki Hekel Ha'adamam Lero Al Panei Ha'adama Yu Banot Yu Ledu Lahem. That's what that verse 6:1 is in Hebrew, by the way. Let's see what it is there. Let's see the translation of it.
When the human population began to grow rapidly on the earth, the sons of God saw beautiful women of the human race and took any who wanted as their wives.
All right, the angelic beings. The angelic beings. It says in the Jewish Publication Society, and it says the divine beings. Now, when they say divine beings, they're not talking about God. They're talking about supernatural beings. Supernatural beings are what? Angels. But these are not good angels. These are bad angels. The good angels don't marry. Don't marry. They do what God tells them to do. But these bad angels, these are the ones that rebel in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 up there. Like Satan, they rebel with Satan. Are you enjoying this? Is this exciting tonight? Just a little bit? All right. And it became, when began to profane mankind, is what it says in Hebrew, when began to profane mankind, to be many, to multiply upon the faces of the Ha'adama on the ground, and daughters were born to them, and saw Vayiru Vene Ha Elohim et Venot Ha Adam Ki Tavot Hena Vayiktu Lehem Nashim Mikol Asher Ba Charu. And saw and kept on seeing the sons of God. All right, the sons of God. The fallen angels. Job 1 and 6. Let's look at that. Job 1 and 6. Second Peter 2 and 5. Numbers 2 and 5. Second Peter or 1 Peter 5 and 8. Deuteronomy 9 and 2 and 128 and 428. Numbers 13:33. These are cross references to this. Okay. Who's got Job 1 and 6? Have you got that, Don?
One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them.
All right. The angels, the sons of God, that's what it is. The sons of God came to present themselves before God. All right. And Satan came with them. All right. 2 Peter 2 and 5. 2 Peter 2. Are you over there, Rob?
Deuteronomy.
What?
I have Deuteronomy.
Okay, go to Deuteronomy. 13.
9 and 2?
Deuteronomy 9 and 2.
A people great and small, the sons of Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the sons of Anak?
All right, the Anakim. These are the descendants of these people. Now, before the flood of Noah, there were a lot of them on the land. But afterwards, they were in the land, and God told the children of Israel, when you go into the land of Canaan, say Canaan. It's not Canaan, but Canaan. the land of Canaan. When you go into the land of Canaan, I want you to take these races here, and I want you to kill every one of them. I want you to kill the mamas, the daddies. I want you to kill the dogs and the sheep and everybody. I want you to kill a whole bunch. Don't leave anything alive. Why? Because they were polluted. They were polluted with these angelic beings. All right? This is what we call an invasion of the gene pool of mankind. Now, if Satan, he has all kinds of little tricks, doesn't he? He is, it's called the methods of Satan, the schemes of Satan. How could he scheme, and if he could just destroy the gene pool, how could the Messiah be born? How could the Messiah be born if the gene pool was infected and polluted? Okay? All right, Deuteronomy 1:28. Do you have you over there, Roger? Okay. I want you to write these down in these scriptures right here, because here we have the same kind of problem. If there's an angel come down there, they would have cohabited with them, I guarantee you, in Sodom and Gomorrah. Go ahead, brother.
Where can we go up? Our brethren have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified to heaven. And besides, we saw the sons of the Anakim dead.
All right, the Anakim. Now 4:28. Deuteronomy 4:28. You're over there. Deuteronomy 4:28.
There you will serve gods, the work of man's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell.
All right. Now over there, these people worshipped idols. The Anakim, all of these fallen angels worshipped, but they worshipped idols, and in those inanimate objects were demon spirits. You think that Catholicism doesn't have a draw and have power over people's lives? Do you think Buddha, the Buddhism? Your people over there from Korea now, there's a lot of Buddhists in Korea, isn't there, brother? Yeah. Do they worship? They worship with all sincerity, with all our heart, with tremendous power. They will bow down to Buddha. And they worship their ancestors. They remember their ancestors. And all of this is ancestor worship, and it is demonic activity in all of this. And this has been introduced into mankind. 1 Peter 5 and 8 and 2 Peter 2 and 5. And Jude 14 also. Now, young lady, you're over there in the book of Jude, aren't you? Jude 4, where are you now? Okay. Could you look up Jude 14? Are you in 1 Peter right now? Okay, go ahead and read the 1 Peter 5 and 8. 1 Peter 5 and 8. What? 1 Peter 5 and 8. 1 Peter 5 and 8. All right, the devil wanders around upon the earth looking for somebody that he can devour. And he is on the earth all of the time. His emissaries are down here. There are fallen angels all around you. There are demon spirits in things, in animals, in humans, all the time, leading people astray. There are angel forces behind every nation. Angelic forces behind every nation. There are fallen spirits behind every nation. We see that Satan is a god of this age. All right. Now, 1 Peter 5 and 8. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Cindy, are you there? No. Are you over there? Okay. I mean 2 Peter 2 and 5. 2 Peter 2 and 5. Just over just a little bit. 2 Peter 2 and 5. All right, now he did not spare the ancient world. That's the time before the flood. Why did he destroy it? Because what happened over there in Genesis, the sixth chapter, where we're talking about. The angelic beings, the fallen angelic beings, crossed with women. And if you read the book of Enoch, and I keep referring to the book of Enoch because I think there's some valuable information in there. What did these angels, according to the book of Enoch, teach women to do? You remember that? We looked at that a little bit. What did they teach women to do? Use eye makeup and lipstick. That's right. That's what they did. They painted their eyes and they had lipstick. What else did they do? Yeah, but what did they? But this is what they said. They said to the women, okay? Is it getting cold in here to you? No? Yes? Harry, you want to turn that down just a little bit?
Well, they did that in Egypt.
Yeah, they did that in Egypt too. What else did they teach people? Now, just think about this. The sons of Ham were going way back yonder. What did they do? They invented all kinds of music. Musical instruments. All kinds of music and musical instruments. Now, with music, you can either worship God or you can worship Satan. And a lot of music is satanic, isn't it? It's as simple as that. We know that. So here we are. Now, let's 6 and 3. 6 and verse 3. Wyomer. And then we have the word Jehovah there. Yadol-Eno. All right? Adol-Leno. Lo-Yadol. Ruki. Wa-Adam. Li-Olam. Bishagam. Pew. Wasar. Basar. Wa-Hayu. Yamo. Mia. Wa Ishrim Shana. And kept on saying Jehovah, not shall strive. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to stay in combat. My spirit in man forever. In their erring, in their wild running astray. In their wild erring and running astray, in their wildness. Okay? He flesh. He flesh. That's basar right there. He flesh, basar. What is it in Greek? What's the word for flesh in Greek? Sarx. He is flesh. He is Adamic nature. He is ungodly. He has Adam's blood. Okay? Wahayu. And shall become his days 120 years. Now, what this is a prophecy of how long that man is going to be on this earth before God brings judgment. And that's what Enoch kept saying. God is going to bring judgment. God is going to bring judgment. And finally, one child was named Methuselah. Methuselah. What does Methuselah mean? Huh? When he is dead, it shall come to pass. Son of the dark.
Greek god,
I don't know what you have. Medusa. Medusa. Yeah. Methuselah, when he is dead, it shall come to pass. The year that Methuselah died, the flood came upon the earth. Now, you study the first 10 names in the Bible, and you get the whole history of salvation and of the story of the coming of the Messiah and everything. And Jehovah, I will not put up with mankind. There's 120 years left before the flood. Okay? All right. Now, 6 and verse 4. Ha Nephilim. Hayu. Laharis. By Yomim. Ahem, Wigam, Achare, Can, Ashur, Yavu, Bene. Ha Elohim, El, Benot, Ha Adama, Ha Adam, that is. Wa Yilidu, Lahem, Hema, Ha Yigo, Ha Yiv Gorim, Borim, Ashur, Mi Olam. I've written on this so much I can hardly see it. All right. Anshi Hashem. And the Nephilim. The word in Greek is gigantus. Gigantus. Gigantic. All right. These gigantic ones, these giants, these Nephilim. Nephilim means fallen ones. Became. Cal perfect, third person corporal plural, they became upon the earth, or in the earth, ba'aretz, in the earth, in days these, and also, especially afterwards, before the flood and after the flood, these fallen beings were on the earth. When they were accustomed to come in the sons of God unto the daughters of men. Now, what it actually says is they're having intercourse. Hebrew draws a plain picture of how people mate. Men come into women. All right, literally. These sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they kept on bearing or had born to them the Ha-Giborim, the heroes, one who magnifies himself, one who acts proud, one who is mighty. These were the Goliaths of old, which from ancient time, the men of famous monuments. They were famous monuments. People look at my family history, the Pauls there, and they say, boy, how in the world did your family get all of this? How do you have all this information about your family? They were famous. John Wayne played Rooster Cogburn. Rooster Cogburn was Sam Paul. That's who he really was. Young Guns and Young Guns 2, that's after the Lincoln County War that my family was done. It was in. It's pretty easy to trace my family. They were so famous. They were famous. When they're famous, you can't hide. These people, the Bible is full of who these people were. It's full of. You can study these famous giants. Anak, the Anakim, Og, Rapha, Goliath, and his four sons or brothers. Ishbi, Berob. These are all real famous giants. These are Nephilim. These are what we call fallen ones. These are the Nephilim of old. There's all kinds of Bible writings about these people. You could go here in Isaiah 26:14, Job 26:5, Psalms 88:10, Proverbs 2:18, 21:16, the son of Anak, Genesis 12 and 6. And 14 and 5 and 15, 19 through 21, Exodus 3 and 8 and 17 and 23, 23, Deuteronomy 7, 20 and 17, Joshua 12 and 8, Deuteronomy 20 and 17, this is where they were supposed to utterly destroy these, Joshua 3, 10. All of these have references to all of these people. The inhabitants of Hebron, Genesis 35 and verse 27. The Rephaim is spoken of 10 times. The Rephaim. Alright? These are all Nephilim. Og in Deuteronomy 3 and 11. Go look at Og for just a moment. All right? These giants were all mixed in the five cities of Sodom. That's why we're going back here. They were all mixed all around this area. This five cities of Sodom were absolutely influenced and mixed with these people. That's why God destroyed them then. All right? Who's got Deuteronomy 3 and 11? Deuteronomy 3 and 11. Did we look at that one? Did we look at all a while ago? Isaiah 135 and 11. Deuteronomy 3 and 11. Do you have that, Roger?
For only Og, king of Bashan, was left of the remnant of the Rephaim. Behold, his bedstead was an iron bedstead. It is in Rabbah of the sons of Ammon. Its length was 9 cubits, and its width 4 cubits by ordinary cubit.
Okay, how long is a cubit?
Mm-hmm.
That's a foot and a half. His bed was how long? 13 feet long. This guy is big. This is a Nephilim. He's a giant. All right? And he was what? What is he called? What is he called? What race is he called?
The
Rephaim. He's a Rephaim. This is what we call the Rephaim. All right? Now, all of these cities around there, that's what's going on. Genesis, the 14th chapter. All right? Genesis 35 and verse 27. Look at Genesis 35 and 27. We're holding you a little bit long time. Genesis 35 and verse 21. Randy, are you over there? Genesis 35 and verse 27. We've got to hear from you.
35
and 27. 35,
27.
Yes.
Jacob came to his father Isaac at Manor of Beres Abba, that is Hebron, for Abraham and Isaac had sojourned.
Uh-huh. Go on a little further.
Now the days of Isaac were 180 years. Isaac breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, an old man.
Okay, now.
His sons Esau and Jacob buried him.
Okay, now that's where they buried him. Now, in this cave is where Caleb went. When he went into the land, Joshua and Caleb went in here. And guess who Joshua and Caleb said lived there? The giants, the Nephilim. And he said, give us that area, we'll go whoop them. Everybody else was afraid. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Joshua 15 and verse 13. Joshua 15 and verse 13. And then Deuteronomy, you were in Deuteronomy 2 and what a while ago? 3 and 11. Deuteronomy 2 and 10 and 11 and 21 and 22 and 23. All right. Deuteronomy, the second chapter. Who has Joshua 15, 13? Cindy, you're over there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, Joshua gave a part among the people of Judah as the Lord commanded him. It was Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron, named for Arba, the father of Anak.
All right, the Anak, the Anakim. These are the Nephilim. All right, this is Joshua now, or not Joshua, but Caleb went in there. And Deuteronomy 2 and 10, Roger, and 11.
The Anak lived there formerly, a people as great, numerous, and tall as the Anakim. Like the Anakim, they were also regarded as Rephaim, but the Moabites called them Ammon.
All right, they were scared to death of these people. Verse 21.
A people as great, numerous, and tall as the Anakim, but the Lord destroyed them before them, and they dispossessed them and settled in their place.
You know how many times that God has had to do this, what he did in Sodom and Gomorrah? This is repetition, people. The devil has been busy, and his angels have been busy. All right, verse 22.
Just as he did for the sons of Esau, who live in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites, from before them, they dispossessed them and settled in their place, even to this day.
23.
And the Avim, who lived in villages as far as Gaza, the Kaptorim, who came from Kaptor, destroyed them and lived in their place.
All right, now this is talking about all of this. Now we went back to the sixth chapter. To let you understand a little bit what was happening over here in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis. Because right here we have the same infection of the gene pool. We have these terrible people, and they're used to cohabiting with angels. Now, these were men that wanted to have sexual relationships with other men. In this we see sodomy. That's where it comes from right here. Homosexuality. God's still not satisfied and happy with it today, really. He doesn't like that today, just like he did way back beyond her. Okay? Well, 19 and verse 24. Are you ready to quit for tonight? That's where we're at. 19 and verse 24. We'll start 19 and 25 next week. Is that all right with you? Yes.
So the flood?
Well, I think that God, the reason why he brought the flood upon the earth, as I believe that God killed every one of them there. And Satan stayed busy. He didn't quit, nor did his buddies quit. They kept on trying to populate the earth. And I think today, there are probably Nephilim on this earth today. Brother Harry.
I was looking at 1 Samuel chapter 17.
Yes.
And he describes Goliath.
Yeah, go ahead and read that. Yeah, read that. All right, read it real loud so we can get it on the...
Then Goliath, the Philistine champion from God, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was a giant of a man, measuring over 9 feet tall.
All right, how many fingers and toes did he have? He had 6 fingers and 6 toes. He was an abnormality. He was abnormal. Yeah. And he was a great big guy. And he was defiant of God, of course. But they worshipped what? What did these Nephilim worship? Demon spirits in objects. All right? Demon spirits in objects. Thank you very much for your attention tonight. And I hope that you enjoyed the class tonight. We study the Bible. We teach a little Hebrew and Greek, but we study the Bible mostly. Well, let's go out and do something what?
Eternal.
All right. Cindy, would you mind dismissing us in prayer, please, young lady?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we've had to spend together, and I thank you that you have given Jim the knowledge to present all these facts to us to widen our knowledge and to widen our understanding.